Please be seated, won't you? Good morning. The person of Mary in the Bible has always been a character or a person that I've adored. From when I was a little child, this was one of my favorite Sundays of the year because we'd hear the start of the story. And I remember growing up just being interested and wondered and imagined all kinds of things about Mary. As an adult, I had a chance to sort of dive into the tradition and to figure out more about her. Because the funny thing is that we don't know a whole lot from Scripture. We know she has a cousin, Elizabeth. We know that she is the favored one of God. We know that she will raise Jesus. We don't hear a whole lot of what Jesus' childhood was about. It's left to our imagination. We really only have a little bit about the first few months, and then we skip to 13, and then we skip to 33, or 30 or so. So we don't get a whole lot of the fill-in story, so to speak, about what Jesus was like as a child or different things like that. Someone wrote a book a while back, and they called Jesus' best friend Biff. It's kind of a funny little book. And they imagined that Jesus was sitting around one time when he was about 7, and he's with his friends, and they have a lizard, and they kill it, and then they hand it to Jesus, and he makes it come back to life, and then they kill it. Hand of Jesus, he makes it come back to life, and this is the game. We don't really have any of that kind of story to know. I don't really think that happened, but it was clever. We don't know much. And we don't hear a whole lot, but sort of Mary kind of makes little appearances here and there, and then at the end of the story, we know that she's there at the crucifixion, and we know that she was faithful and remained at Jesus' side, really as the only one throughout the entire story. We know something about Joseph. We know that he takes great risk, as Mary does, to bring this child into the world. The other things we know about Mary and Joseph is it's not long after Jesus is born, they have to escape to Egypt because someone wants to kill their child. And they go on this long journey into a foreign land, back to a place where their people were once held as slaves. Now, I don't know about you, but when our children were infants, getting them anywhere was quite an ordeal. But we have motorized vehicles and we have car seats and, you know, fancy carriers. And for Jesus and for Mary and Joseph at the time, it would have meant, you know, camels and, you know, donkeys and carts and walking. And can you imagine going on a several hundred mile journey through the desert under threat? So the task they were given wasn't just picture perfect. It was quite challenging. And it was risky. The other thing we know about Mary is that she wore blue. Every picture of Mary throughout history, she wears blue. It's not in Scripture, but somehow most cultures have decided that that's the color that she wore. Blue is a symbol of royalty. It's a symbol of purity. It's a symbol of all kinds of things, and there's particular reasons why that color was there, but it's kind of an interesting thing. So I have a question for you that's sort of at the heart of what I think the gospel is about today. What if Mary had said no? What if Mary had said, nah, not me. I'm not really up to this. Because I think sometimes for us, the question about our faith and about our practice and about what we believe is whether we'll say yes to God in our life or whether we'll say no. And we don't always understand the power of this particular scripture, this particular gospel, and what it's saying. Interestingly enough, the people who put the lecture together put this along with the story of Nathan and David and the building of the first temple. In that time, it was understood that to worship God was to have a place. To have a relationship with God was to have a place of sacrifice. You did not have a direct relationship. You didn't have God incarnate, but instead there was to be a central place in which the culture was focused and sacrifices happened, and this was something that was repeated over and over again, and that you had to have God in this particular place, and that was your relationship. It was outside of the self, so to speak. And in the story we have for today, God becomes incarnate. God humbles and becomes human and becomes a child. And it changes everything because you no longer need a place to have God. In the Orthodox or Greek Orthodox tradition, Mary is called the Theotokos, or the God-bearer, the one who bears God into the world. I've always loved that kind of phrase. And part of what happens is that the whole relationship with God shifts from being a central place, a temple, but to being in ourselves and in the relationships that we have. It becomes in the body of Christ. We love this building. We love our church. We love our altar. We love everything about this particular place, but this is not the church. This is the church. This is a living out of that theology is in the community here. If this building were to no longer exist, we can still gather and be the church. This is but a tool for us. It's a place. It's a place of gathering, a place of using it, but it is not the church itself. But what if you say no to God? What if you don't take whatever God wants you to bear into the world? What if you refuse? We have this beautiful piece of scripture in the Magnificat that's about Mary. It's a beautiful song. My soul magnifies the Lord. You have come down and you have chosen your lowly servant to do great things. Mary is like us. And I think the challenge for us is to realize that we are asked to bear God in the world where we go, in the places where we go, and the people that we live with. We're asked to be God-bearers, so to speak, in the places that we can be present. How many of you watch the news? Anybody? All right. How many of you are on Facebook or Twitter? Not quite as many, but you're there. If you were to examine those two places, and if you can't see the need for God's love, the need for God's compassion, the need for Jesus' ministry in the world, the need for people who will work for justice and peace, and for people who will stand for the right things, I don't know what planet you live on. It's easy sometimes for us to think that the church is no longer important or that faith is no longer important. But in my mind, it's critically important. We need to bear God in our neighborhoods, in our schools, and in the workplaces, in the boardrooms, in the operation room, in the hospitals, and in every place that we go. And the only way that happens is if it's you and I doing that. And so the question is always before us is, will we bear God in those places? Will we risk being God's servant, so to speak, to those around you? Now, you don't have to wear blue to do that. But we do have to take a risk like Mary did and like Joseph. Sometimes we underestimate Mary being pregnant outside of marriage in her context would have meant cultural exclusion. Just that simple fact was such a risk for them. And yet, she says yes. And Joseph says yes. And to me, when we're asked to be a presence of faith in the world around us, there is risk, but we say yes. It's risky to give your coat to the homeless. It's risky when you see injustice, to speak up. It's risky to love the unloved. It's risky to be with the sick and the homeless. It's risky to do the right thing sometimes. It's risky to do God's work. But what if Mary had said no? Would we have the story? Would we have the faith? Would we have Christmas? Would we have Easter? Would we have those things? We don't know because she said yes. In a few days, Christmas will happen, and all of us have different traditions and different expectations, and some will gather with families, and some will gather with friends, and some might find themselves facing the holiday for the first time without a loved one. all kinds of different things will happen. You might exchange gifts, you might not. You might have a big meal, you might not. You might go out and have Chinese, you might not. There's all kinds of things that will happen, but at the core of this, for those of us who are Christians, we're called to renew our faith and to know the power of the story that's before us. And that we are invited to bear God in our lives because of these events. Because of the faith of Mary, because of the faith of Joseph, and because of the life of Jesus Christ. So I want to challenge you to be willing to bear God into your life. I want to challenge you to find those opportunities to be that light in those places that you go. But what if you say no? Amen.